Let me know when you've got some time and when you want to come around, and then just give me a call and let me know. Be like, yeah, ready, what's up?
Cool.
I'm coming over, type of thing.
Okay. All right, we'll do, man.
Okay, cool.
Take care, then.
All right, well, I'll let you go. I'll do the show.
Cheers.
And tell Fallon and everybody what's up.
We'll do, man.
All right, cool.
All right, peace, man.
Take care, man.
All right, bye, man.
Bye. Bye, man.
Bye.
I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
Hit it.
You brainwashed yourself, you motherfucking stupid cocksuckers, because you never studied your holy homework. That's two capital H's there. All the rest are lowercase in any fucking case. Supreme Court, you are not the fucking Supreme Court of anything, except hell. For the next 10,000 years, you will shovel your shit and eat it because you're on refeed, motherfucker. That just started backwards, and you can't do a fucking thing about it. The public are going to take back every fucking thing from you that you took away from them, you motherfucker.
Raleigh.
Yes.
This is the deal.
Yes. What is the deal?
You either cool it down right now,
or you're going to fucking die.
You're out of here.
Oh, you're going to put me out? Well, I ain't leaving, motherfucker. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to this little kid, huh?
You're going to go to the psych ward.
Well, good. That's where I want to go.
Yeah, you're going to be right
there.
That's
exactly right. Now,
so you better cool it down. You better cool it down right now. I don't want to hear anything else out of this room.
Are you going to what?
You're going to go to the psych ward. This is your last opportunity.
Yeah, okay. Get it. Let's go.
Shut your fucking mouth.
All right.
And don't make any more waves in the house. Otherwise, you're going to the psych ward.
Well, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the psych ward, so I'm going to shoot my fucking mouth off. So get out of here. You're cutting into my commercial.
You understand?
I'm making a fucking commercial. I'm a businessman. Get out of here. You're trying to get in on this fucking thing. You ain't no star, asshole. You're just a fucking errand boy.
You're the craziest son of a bitch ever.
Exactly.
Now you
I'm an American.
This is the last warning, Raleigh.
Good. Shut up.
Any more out of you?
Yeah.
And you're going to the psych ward.
See, you lie.
Any more out of you?
You don't eat your feedback.
You need to understand that.
I understand that.
As long as you understand that. That's the rules, Raleigh. Either you
whoever comes in this fucking room, I'm going to kill him. That's what I'm going to do.
Are you?
Yes.
I'm in your room, Raleigh.
Well, you come in against this.
I'm in your room, Raleigh. I'm in your room.
Well, back out.
I'm in your room.
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 Words don't bother me, man. Actions do.
Hey, let's do it. Go for it, dude.
Well, if you come to me, you're going to fucking die.
Go for it.
That's what I'm not
for
going for nothing.
You fucking wimp.
I ain't going for
you're
nothing.
You fucking wimp.
You fucking wait for me, and I'm going to take your arm off.
Come on.
That's what I'm telling you.
Come on. Come on.
I ain't coming. You come.
Cool it, Raleigh.
So.
Words don't bother me, man.
Words don't bother me, man. You're the craziest son of a bitch I've ever met. I know, because I'm American. This is Hacker Voice Radio on episode 46.
Hold on.
On the 24th of October, 2005. You're not hearing us.
Hello?
You're hearing us now. Hearing us now. How about now? Can you hear us, Major Tom? Can you hear us, Major Tom? Can you hear us?
Hello?
Hello. Hello. Anyway, I started off the show with a telephone conversation from our good old friend Raiders, and a nice little tune, nice little recording about some crazy guy that Ionix has. Seem to be having some problems at the moment regarding his sound efficiency. Just to announce to everyone, we have finally completed the cover of the season one, the season 01. It's all done, all artwork has been done by Onyx. I think it looks fabulous. Fabulous, darling. Yeah, so go out there, man. Buy it. Fucking, you know, buy two, buy three. We'll be putting them up on sale so that everyone can have a little look. So just waiting for this geezer to call us black. In the meantime, let's have Hello. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I don't know what happened. I guess your sound just cut out.
No, I know what happened.
We could hear you.
Yeah, I faded out the XMMS that I was using to play that file.
Right.
And then I X'd out of it before fading it back up.
So it,
and I couldn't find which toggle on K-Mix I had to push up to be able to hear anything.
Right. Never mind.
Completely stupid. I'm a noob.
Well, at least we can hear you now.
How lucky you.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. I was just saying to everyone that season one cover has been finished.
Yes?
Prototype is done. We just have to make some copies and start selling them.
Yeah, looks pretty splendid, if I don't say so myself.
Yeah. I mean, artwork has all been done by you, and it looks fabulous.
Why, thank you. Obviously, it took some doing.
Yeah. I gave you some inspiration and some ideas.
Yep. I got her done.
So, is there anything you want to play for us before we head off into the main section of the show?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think we should be covered on that. That was Theodore Raleigh Sakers.
Whoa.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Probably one of the craziest bastards out there. I'm just having all kinds of audio issues today. See here now, we're gonna cut that. Hello?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah, it sounds about the same. Sounds
okay. Well, it sounds better on my end, so.
Cool. Okay. Something I'm going to be getting into, and I think I mentioned it to you a few days ago, or yesterday, as far as I can remember. I'm going to be making a laser communicator.
Ah, yes.
Now, this project isn't something, like, extremely difficult to do. It's not, like, an uber hacksawing project, but it's extremely fun and it's on the low scale, maybe medium scale of difficulty. But it's quite fun to do. All that's involved is you require a transformer and a laser pen. Now, the hardest thing to acquire would be a photoresistor, which is probably something you want to be using. You can use a photoresistor rather than a solar panel because they're much more rugged and they won't snap and break. And I don't know if how well they work compared to a solar panel, but I would imagine they'd work better than a solar panel.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it depends on the quality of the resistor. They work either the same or slightly better.
So what's going to be happening is I'm going to be attempting to transfer audio via the medium of lasers, man.
Audio via light.
Yeah, which is going to be pretty cool. So at the end of the beam will be a receiver, and that receiver will be an optical resistor so that it works on the amount of energy it's received by the light source. So the fluctuations of the light source will determine how much the circuit is broken, how much the circuit is connected, why, and then that transmits the signal or the power to a speaker, producing basically sound, which is pretty cool. The whole thing looks really cool. Like, you know, on paper, it would look, and even in real life, I think it'll be one of those really kind of cool geeky projects you could do. I'm definitely going to be mounting the laser on a toy shark. It's got to be done, man. It's got to be done.
I know.
You have to have.
What kind of range are you expecting?
Pretty high, you know, for this kind of thing. You know, it's light, man. It travels at the speed of light, so I'm going to be experimenting with the range. I'm presuming that it's going to be quite high. You know, the range is going to be a good distance. As long as you can...
A couple hundred to a few hundred meters, I'm expecting.
Exactly. I mean, as long as you can point the thing at the thing correctly, at the receiver, you're good to go, you know? The efficiency of this will be that you have near enough to secure communication. It is one-way communication, so if you need to get a message to someone securely, secretly, you know, because nobody else can listen to this. You only need, you know if somebody else isn't listening to it because they've broken the beam. Because if anything gets between it, the actual link is broken, so, you know, the message doesn't get through.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really found any other practical uses of it apart from, you know, transmitting sound over light, which is cool. You know, you could transmit something across one end of the room to the other, I guess, and maybe from your window to, you know, like if you're in a crowd and you need to get a message to someone else across the room, you mm-hmm. can shine the beam at them.
Yeah. That'd be really cool.
Mm. So I'm going to be
another interesting application of this could be something along the lines of doing something similar, but
hello,
or an LCD monitor.
Sorry, having a something similar, but what?
Well, I was just thinking. I mean, this could be a. But taking it a little one step further, although it doesn't have the laser, so it's not quite as cool.
Mm-hmm.
But you could do something as simple as, you know how they have, like, visualization plugins for audio players?
Sure.
You could do something where a video recording of that
mm-hmm.
could be translated back into audio.
Sure.
Or things along those lines. Yeah. And if you could get your hold of, like, one of those lab spec, you know, high-powered lasers...
Mm.
You could do this over miles.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the principle of it is very simple. All that happens is a transformer converts the audio current back into the charge for the... Basically, you have charge going through the laser constantly, but it's going through a coil. So the coil is affected by the magnetic force of the audio, which is picked up from the headphone jack from a, you know, just like a fucking, you can have an AM, FM radio, you could even have an amplifier, microphone, MP3 player, you're even, you know, your machine, your computer, anything.
A microphone?
A microphone, yes, exactly, microphone with an amplifier. So basically what happens is it affects it makes it flicker. That's basically what it does. It makes it flicker so much so that the flickering affects the resistance of the receiver, the photoresistor.
Well, I think I might be able to give a more succinct description.
Like, yeah.
Basically, what your transformer is going to be doing is attenuating the power that's going to the laser.
That's
so that
right.
The strength of the laser is variable based upon the current being passed through the transformer.
Yeah.
The current being passed through the transformer, of course, being the electric audio.
Yeah.
Basically, your speaker or microphone, in order to convert a sound into an electrical signal, uses a magnet, which creates an electrical impulse.
Yeah.
Based on frequency and strength, that will be the sound and the loudness of what you're doing.
So instead of vibrating a drum or a skin to create the energy to move the air, what it's doing is it's It's flickering the lights on the laser.
A flicker's not exactly the best way to put it.
Yeah,
it changes
the intensity, maybe, of the light.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then the resistor will pick up on this, and the more light that's hitting it, the more it's going to resist, and the electrical signal going there.
Yeah.
In effect, recreating the sound wave.
That's right.
Which can then be amplified and played.
That's right. That's pretty much it. As I said, it's a very simple project. As far as, you know, kit comes to concern, you could do it all with paper clips. Crocodile clips. But I'm going to be hardwiring this to the... I'm going to mount the laser onto a shark. And I'm going to hardwire it so that, you know, there's like a project box with the resistor and a little headphone jack and a little battery pack and everything and a little audio amplifier so that you can plug anything into it, either a pair of headphones, or you can plug it straight into a hi-fi box or something like that.
That's really cool.
But I thought, you know, I've got to do this because it's a freaking laser, man.
It's a freaking laser beam.
Yeah.
That's a great project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, for listeners, they might notice that we're not joined tonight by Planet. Sadly, he's got an ear infection. And
tragic.
The amount of times that I've told him not to put fucking Pringles in his ears.
I know. He's got a problem.
Fucking hell.
We've tried the interventions, but to no avail.
We've told him you're meant to eat through your mouth, not through your ear. It just doesn't work.
The poor lad. He's got to be in some pain, though. Ear infections are never fun.
No. So that's the reason why, because he couldn't get on a pair of headphones to listen to us, so he won't be able to join us for the show. So we hope he gets better soon. And we hope he joins us sometime soon.
For
some quality radio entertainment. Not to say that we're not providing you with quality radio entertainment.
Well, we're trying.
Yeah. Cool. Just getting some background music so we can kick up the rhythm and see what we can talk about.
All right.
Cool. Now, today's news. Nothing happened.
Nothing happened at all.
Nothing happened.
The world has been dull.
Yeah, really. I mean, come on. Nothing really happened. I mean, I'm usually capable of picking something up.
Well, I've got a little something.
Yeah, go on.
It's businesses in the United States have been adopting instant messaging rather quickly to be able to coordinate projects between offices that are in, distant places. It used to be that IM was completely forbidden at work.
Right.
And now I guess they're starting to use proprietary instant messaging programs and things along those lines to connect remote offices, be able to collaborate on programs.
Wow.
State Farm Insurance Agency was one of the ones that this article had mentioned.
Interesting.
And one of the things that the article had really gone on to is with the pace that businesses have been picking this up as compared to how quickly email was adopted about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So that it's really really becoming common
right.
at quite a rapid rate. Most likely, it says, because people like the real-time collaboration that email just doesn't get you. It allows you a more personal contact
right.
with other workers doing the same thing and instant feedback.
Nice. Well, I mean, I'm glad they're using proprietary systems because you don't want to be using, like, MSN Messenger or something.
AOL Instant Messenger.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be... That's an IT guy's nightmare.
potentially devastating. I have some fun news. Did you know that tucks can milk cows?
Really?
If you're a cow and you want to get milk, because you got to get milked, you know, if you don't get milked for a long while, it starts to hurt and your udders start to ache. You know what it's like.
Oh, tell me about it.
God, you have to put the cream on and stuff. God. So, you need to get milked. And if you're a dairy farmer, they want to make, you know, they want to make their cows happy. So what do? Well, you set up a machine that gives the cow control over its milking schedule. Oh yeah, and of course, it runs Linux. It identifies the cow, then finds the udder, milks the cow, cleans its undercarriage, and lets it go.
Wow.
Yeah.
I need one of those.
Hmm. For different things, obviously.
Well, yeah, see, milking one way or another.
Yeah. Now, this device is made by a Swedish company. The system is like a robotic cow milking device. It runs Linux on a 200 megahertz board featuring a 100 megabit Ethernet, VGA card, LCD ports, compact flash, and a PCI expansion slot. This thing is pretty shit hot, man.
That's pretty
fucking
cool.
Milking thing, yeah.
Yeah, I bet it also allows them to keep, you know, real-time statistics on
how much
a cow's been milked, how much milk they've produced.
Hmm.
Like all kinds of things in the dairy industry, which I know very little about.
Yeah. Now, the whole device is guided by lasers and photo sensors. So pretty much what I'm kind of trying to do, but not in the kind of other sense. So they're able to kind of laser in on the teat before the vacuum starts milking the cups. Milking cups. Anyway, the milk flow and quantity is controlled and monitored for each cow. It's assigned a different number and stuff like that, so, you know, the machine knows which cow it is that it's milking. So if it's milked the same cow twice, it knows not to milk it that long enough because it won't have as much milk to milk, I guess. I mean, I'm not a farmer, but I'm sure it's quite logical.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Penguins milking cows.
Mm.
Sounds like a Monty Python skit.
It does.
Or something you'd see on Tom Green.
Yes. Oh, man. So, any other kind of news?
The only other thing I saw was a little review on the Nintendogs.
Yeah.
Electronic pet for the Nintendo DS. Basically just saying it's a pain in the ass. Damn thing needs more attention than his real pets.
Yeah.
Never really understood that myself.
Apparently, Planet's got a Nintendog.
Oh, really? Mm. There's going to be a little program with some behavioral problems.
He says it craps a lot. I guess it's just
does he have to clean it up?
Yeah, I guess he has to clean it up. I guess it's just its way of attracting attention, you know.
Leaving ones and zeros all over the floor?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
You dumped your code.
Yeah. Well, that brings new meaning to a TCP dump.
Yeah.
Oh.
Pretty slow day, isn't it?
Craziness. I have a little bit of old news.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I had posted on the forums that might be interesting to people.
Yeah.
Was the company that's giving away calling cards.
Right.
Each calling card for 5 free calls.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently the person that's doing it, they're doing it to actually test some of their new switching systems. Apparently they're allowing users to change their caller ID.
Right.
But they're not advertising that feature.
Okay.
So if you need instructions on how to go about and do that, you can check out our forums. An interesting thing is that a person who has, like, a broadband internet connection can use free world dial-up to call toll-free numbers in the United States for free. Well, if you use this in conjunction with this calling card, which has a toll-free number, you could then use free world dial-up to call internationally to the United States anywhere for free and be able to change your caller ID while you're doing it.
Sure. And be able to spoof it back maybe to the UK?
You could. You could do that, but you'd have to do it through an AT&T international operator.
Right.
And I'm not entirely certain if that would have you incur international calling fees from the U.S. back to the U.K.
Yeah.
One thing that you could use to do it, which is just a little bit confusing, but I believe you could do it to call back to a Free World dial-up number in the U.K.
Mm-hmm.
using one of Free World dial-up's gateways. And I believe that would pass your caller ID.
Cool.
Although being able to change your caller ID to a UK number would be difficult. Although if you just drop the zero at the end, they have basically the same format, the 10-digit format.
Yeah. Interesting. I think somebody's going to have to check that out someday.
Yeah.
Freaking is not dead.
No, it's just gotten really weird.
Yeah. Right. Let's see what we got.
One simple little use for that would be if you wanted to order somebody in the United States a pizza and you needed to verify basically who they were.
Yeah.
That's all done through caller ID.
Mm.
So, yes, you can make a prank call and have a pizza delivered
to someone in the U.S.
25,000 kilometers from where you are.
Yeah.
And get a good chuckle while doing it.
Expect a pizza to your house, Linux.
Yeah, pretty much.
Would you like pepperoni? Meat feast? No?
Sure, just everything.
Cool.
Extra anchovies. And 5 IC timing chips.
Yeah. you won't believe it, man. You know that your package is supposedly has to be on its way today to your house.
I'm thinking that it probably wasn't.
What happened was, they wouldn't accept the address because it has no stated country on it, except for New York.
Oh yeah, I forgot to put United States of America.
Yeah,
on
I forgot to add that as well.
Not too bloody smart, are they?
I thought they would assume, you know, New York. You got a zip code there.
Yeah. No, the other New York.
Yeah, the other Troy in Greece, yeah, wherever the fuck that is.
Yeah. I don't think that city exists anymore.
No. Yeah, that's, see that number there? It's not a zip code, that's BC, yeah.
I was hoping to send this package back in time.
Yeah. Oh, how much does that service cost?
Yeah. $5, that's preposterous.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
Yeah. Well, thanks for doing that cover for us, man. It's looking really good.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure.
I hope it's going to give some people a laugh. And
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should be pretty fun anyway.
Mm.
So how'd you like to talk about this Interceptor Pro system that's sold through Accelerated Promotions?
I wouldn't mind, yeah. I was thinking about when we were going to talk about some of that stuff.
Well, no time like the present, I suppose.
Yeah. 15,000 MSRP. Whoops.
Hello.
We seem to be
cutting in and out.
No, we seem to be getting owned by commercials, man.
Oh. Yeah, just a bit. The spam house. Somebody just rang the doorbell. That's never good news.
No. Okay, well, I'm ready to talk if you are.
All right. Well, a person can go to acceleratedpromotions.com and go ahead and look at their cellular interception systems. They offer a TDMA interceptor pro system that scans control channels and locates working base stations, is able to decode conversations on a hard drive, and monitor the activity of a phone number from a list of interesting phone numbers. So a technician can put in phone numbers that it wishes to monitor the activity of, record all conversations given by them, and have it all stored on the hard drive. It displays and records all of the events in the control channels. This includes power attenuation, it includes motion from one cell to another, location of the cell. It monitors incoming and outgoing calls, and basically records and listens to forwarding and outgoing calls, as well as SMS and TCP/IP communications over TDMA. Which, interestingly enough, I've done a little bit of research on, and the GPRS, General Packet Radio Service, that is offered on TDMA through PCS, is the exact same standard that is offered on GSM. Now, sure, you may be thinking, where can I get myself one of these little toys?
I mean, how much do they cost? It's not about as much, is it?
The TDMA is $280,000.
That's not bad.
Which is, you know, it's a mere, I don't know, 140,000 pounds?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
I mean, you could say, I want to buy a new house, or I could get one of these. What do you think?
Well, for the TDMA, I don't think I'd pay it. About $420,000 for the GSM version of this. That might be worth it. But then again, you also have to be a member of a law enforcement agency.
Sure. You could always spoof your ID, can you?
I suppose you could try. If you've got the cash, I really don't know how stringent they're going to be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you've got the cash, then you've got means of acquiring, you know, ways of getting this thing.
But what if, for roughly $1,000, you could build one?
Yeah.
And that was pretty much what I wanted to talk about today.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you could go ahead and pay all that money and go through all the hardship of pretending to be someone you're not, or you could just go ahead and build one yourself.
Yeah, pretty much, pretty much. Now, you may be thinking, that sounds really, really difficult. Well, I'll assure you it is.
Yeah.
The first thing that you have to understand is how TDMA actually works. Now, TDMA was what was referred to as a next-generation digital standard, coming out right after digital amps in the United States. That's another thing. You're not going to be able to use this in Europe.
Yeah, it just won't work in the UK.
And most of Asia, for that matter. But North and South America, parts of Africa, the Middle East, do use these systems. Now, particularly South America, this is like the new stuff down there right now. Many of the South American cellular systems are still using the old amps, which I believe we went into in another episode.
Sure.
Now, TDMA is commonly referred to by two different standards. There's the IS-54 standard and the IS-136 standard. They basically use the same kind of phase key shifting to be able to chop up, you know, the signal into... Well, let me take a step back. It uses the same frequency range that the analog system did. But what it allows you to do is basically chop up each channel into four channels, one being a control or reference channel, and the other three being voice channels. It's much like a trunking system on a police radio, something along those lines. Now, since it maintains the same frequency range and 30 kilohertz channel spacing of amps, you do not need a TDMA phone to be able to decode TDMA. You can use old analog technology that you've unlocked and either purchased or made a cable to connect it to a computer. You are going to need a computer. I actually recommend this may be the only time you ever hear me say this, using a Windows computer for this.
All right.
Because there's interface software available for commercial, high-end commercial signal generators for cellular testing, where basically the unit itself is very expensive, but they give away the software to interface it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this software can be used to basically decode the IS-54 standard. Now, the IS-136 standard is the same, except it does not... It both uses the 800 megahertz range and the 1900 megahertz range. So in order to be able to decode that, you're going to need a basically a scanner or any kind of receiver that can get those frequency ranges. Now, they use what is called pi over 4 differential quadrature, Q-U-A-D-R-A-T-U-R-E, quadrature, phase shifting.
Wow.
Which from how here on out, I'll be referring to as pi over 4 DQ-PSK.
Sounds like something out of Star Trek, man.
It is. Let's see. PSK is phase shift keying. I am just a mess. Data causes the phase of the carrier to change from one state to another. Modulation can be generated by phase shifting circuit. The amplitude of this is constant. It's just a phase of the data that is currently shifting. Or by an IQ modulator, where the amplitude can be constant or variable between the symbols. In most systems, the filters I and Q path are independent and produce a level variation. Now, QPSK is a PSK, or a phase shift keying, that has four states that are determined by two data bits in the stream. That'll be covered a little bit later when we look at the channel code.
Cool, okay.
It basically employs baseband filters with a raised cosine frequency response. The phase shift transitions are limited to plus or minus pi over 4 and plus or minus 3 pi over 4. It produces a high spectral efficiency and requires coherent detection, which is not ideal in multipath fading environment.
So basically what you're saying there, what it does is it basically splits the band up into different bits. And then it allows it to kind of...
And then sort of spins them around.
Spins them around, and just a bit like... A little bit like TCP/IP would work, where it would just... not as much, but it would see, right, that's full, I'm going to the next one, that's used, I'm going to the next one. Does it do that as it when you make a call?
No.
And it would only listen to that spectrum that it's been assigned to.
Boy.
I'm just trying to understand this. It's pretty complex.
All right.
I mean.
Basically, what we're going to be using here is for the initial the setup for any voice channel, whether it be a call being made or received, the control channels are still going to be sending out the hex, much like the analog system did.
Right.
Now, in... That, okay, so something happens and you get put onto a TDMA voice channel.
Okay, so you're assigned a
Imagine
channel.
That one channel like a merry-go-round or a carousel that's been divided evenly into quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of those quarters is going to be, like the operator of the merry-go-round is going to be standing there.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to control the motion of that merry-go-round.
Right, okay.
The other three are going to be people who are having voice conversations using, I don't know, whatever, on the merry-go-round.
Yeah, a horse.
Yeah, sure, yeah. We'll stick with that.
Cool.
Now...
I'm just trying to get it, like, really simple so I can understand this, because it's pretty complicated.
It's kind of complicated.
Yeah.
Now, what is going to control how fast that spins...
Mm-hmm.
Is the actual encoding method, which is the quadrature phase key shifting.
Right.
Now, it's always going to be a variable of pi over 4,
mm-hmm.
which I think you can kind of make sense if you think of it as a circle.
Sure, yeah.
Now, the thing is that it's variable.
So it can change.
Yeah, how fast it's going. And also, each person, the three people that are on this merry-go-round, are told at different times by this merry-go-round operator to jump onto a different horse.
Right.
And that is what actually makes it difficult to detect, or decode, rather. Now, since it does use the basic range of the analog signal, the base station is going to be broadcasting on 869 to 894 megahertz, while the mobile station is going to be broadcasting on 824 to 849 megahertz. Now, the symbol rate of these are 2.3 kilohertz, which is 324 bits every 6.67 milliseconds.
Right.
Which is referred to as a time slot. Now, the time slots are the horses and the operator.
Right, okay.
Now, there's going to be a 45 megahertz duplex spacing, which is simple. It means that one channel is going to be two frequencies, the mobile frequency and the base frequency. Like, if you take the lowest frequency on the range, 824 megahertz being the mobile, 869 being the base station, you see that there's 45 megahertz in between them.
Cool.
Now, each channel has a bit rate of 48.6 kilobytes per second, and the speech encoding is done at 7.95 kilobytes per second, allowing for an overhead for data.
Right.
Okay, moving on.
One question, sorry. You see, let's say you've got that cell. How many phones can that cell support then? Is there a maximum limit of phones that the cell can support?
For one channel or one cell?
Well, you're in a city, or let's say you're in a city and you've got like six phones in one cell, on one base station.
Yeah.
How many phones would it be relative to the amount of channels it can assign, or?
Yes, it would be completely relative to the number of channels that it can assign.
Right. Okay.
You would have to. Yeah, basically, and that assignment is actually done by the, I believe, by the FCC in the United States.
Right.
The more channels you can have, the more phones you obviously can have. But one of the things they like to do is, rather than assign one cell a ton of different phones, or a ton of different channels, to spread them out so that they can have maximum coverage area.
Sure.
So as you're going, you'll actually jump from another cell, and by spacing the channels that are used like that, they don't run up into the problem of having two channels right on top of each other,
right,
where you'll have frequency bleed.
Mm-hmm.
Because another thing that we have to realize is, since these are mobile, Doppler effect is going to affect the frequency signal.
Okay.
So, where was I?
Sorry if I just completely put you off track.
No, it's all right.
I just wanted to clear up a few things.
Sure. Ask any questions that you can.
Because obviously, we've got a completely different system here.
Yeah.
Of which I'm really kind of in the dark with as far as it goes. And I think by what I do and what I should know so much more about it. So this is why, you know, at least I can learn this and then maybe apply some of that to GSM, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, I'm also doing some research on GSM, which has been going kind of slow. I haven't put it as a priority, but hopefully in another month or two, I'll be able to give a similar presentation on that. Okay. So we were talking about the Pi over 4 QPSK.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the phase shift of the carrier is rotated by 45 degrees between each symbol. symbol being a digital symbol, usually a 1 or a 0.
Right.
There are some exceptions to that, but they're not really worth going into for our purposes.
Sure.
Now, there are two kinds of channel codings that are used here. Both use 324 bits per slot. Now, the first 28 bits of channel coding 1 and channel coding 2 are synchronization bits.
Mm-hmm.
They're typically rebroadcast 9-bit chunks 4 times for basically parity checking. Now, in the channel coding 1, the next 12 bits are what's called a slow associated control channel.
Right.
And that is going to send control messages, or more likely to alert the phone to a control message.
Okay.
The next 130 bits are going to be data, which, in the case of a voice conversation, are going to be the digitized voice encoding.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is the digital voice control channel, which is a 12-bit. That is similar to the voice control channel, forward voice control channel on analog signaling,
yeah,
which alerts the phone to change cells, for instance,
right,
when you're going out of range of one cell.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's immediately followed by another 130 bits of data. 2-bit, and my notes, what is the DL? Oh, a 2-bit downlink indicator, or 11-bit downlink indicator. And then a 1-bit received receive signal voice. Oh, that basically tells you the difference between the power of the tower,
right,
and the received signal.
Okay. So it's like
now,
how much am I showing and how much is it getting there?
Yeah, how much, okay, has been dampened between, yeah, the space in between where I yelled and who heard me.
Yeah.
The control channel 2, as I said before, has the synchronization bits at the beginning, just like the channel coding, the first one. The next 142 bits of the slot are then dedicated to data,
right,
with then 12 bits for the digital voice control channel, much like the other one. It's just put in a different place.
Sure.
Then followed by 136 bits of data. The control channel 2 basically managed to get the control bits. It doesn't have what's called the slow associated control channel.
Uh-huh.
So for its fast power control bit, it only uses 1 bit. This allows you to encode 18 more bits of data per slot, making for a more efficient standard. Then you have a 1-bit, which is a power control bit, and your received voice, the thing that basically tells you how loud you're yelling and whatnot. And then at the end of it is a power control ramp field, which I have no idea what it does. So those are the specifications that you need to use to actually be able to go into making one of these.
Right.
Now, the first thing that you'd need in the initial construction that I would recommend is a late 1980s Motorola bag phone, which already has the serial cord plug built into it. That'll make connecting it to a computer much easier.
Right.
The next thing that you would need to do is actually crack open the phone, or use the finger hacking method of being able to access that phone's test mode.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you're in test mode, you're going to want to, you're basically going to make, want to make bat scripts to be able to push the phone into test mode and to be able to use the test mode commands to,
yeah,
pass the data, or in this, well, audio in this case, to the computer, mm-hmm, to be able to be decoded.
Sure.
The first thing that you'd want to do is locate the control channels in the area that you're in, which is it's fairly simple to be able to do because the control channels send out certain indicator bits to tell you what they are, and can be received by the phone in hex.
Right. Okay. So it's all it all comes down in hex.
Hmm.
It all comes through as hex.
Yeah, it all comes through as hex. Despite the signal is being binary.
Yeah.
The phone does a lot of the work as to breaking it into the hex.
Cool. Okay.
Which will save you a bit of processing power.
Sure. Yeah.
And make it a little easier to script.
Hmm.
Now, the next thing that you would need is the actual data on what the FCC control codes are saying and doing so that you can make it so that the program responds accordingly to how you'd like it to. The next thing that you would need is control software to be able to simulate models of the phase key shifting that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Now, chances are it would be very difficult to put one of these together that can do it in real time. With a 20-second delay, 30-second delay, it becomes a little bit easier.
Yeah.
There's a lot of data being pushed around that has to be analyzed before you can go into it.
Yeah.
One thing that I can't figure out...
Well, could do it real time if you were going hardware.
If you had made embedded hardware to be able to do this, then yes, you would do it in real time. Much like a TDMA cell phone does.
Yeah.
Except you'd be able to access everything instead of just when somebody calls you or when you make a call.
Sure.
The one thing I cannot figure out in the channel coding is what portion of the control channel coding tells which conversation to go into which time slot.
Right.
Which is kind of a pain in the ass. But that's basically how you'd go about doing this. For a little more information, perhaps, as far as getting into this,
mm-hmm.
there's a program called Banapia.
Right.
Which was written for Windows 95 and Windows 98. Its original purpose being fairly obsolete. It used to be able to be hooked to a scanner.
Right.
And basically go to the reverse control channel
mm-hmm.
and pick up and decode ESN, the electronic serial number
right.
of the phone, pair it with an MIN
mm-hmm.
for the purposes of cloning,
right.
which is pretty much obsolete, but it does give you an idea of how to begin to decode the hex of control channels, basically, what
sure.
you're looking at.
Which is quite important, because otherwise you'd just be looking at loads of different numbers and you won't be able to work out which phone or what thing you're looking at.
Yeah, you're pretty much SOL.
Yeah.
Another program that is interesting to look into is called Cellmon.
Right.
Or a similar one called G2. I think that if you do a Google search... or Poison Pen, and either of these programs, that you will be able to find them, most likely on an archive kept by Packet Storm Security.
Right.
But there's a lot of reading that can be done onto this. Most of my information has been gleaned from graduate thesis papers from the mid-90s.
Cool.
And that's
how would
about
you go
that.
About finding those papers?
Well, dare I say, Google. One of the things you can do is Google the standards. That would be IS-54 or IS-136.
Hmm.
You can also go ahead and, Google, like, TDMA modulation, CDMA modulation, time division multiple access, code division multiple access, things along those lines, and look into it, because there's a lot of information out there. It's just kind of buried under a lot of ads for cell phones.
Sure, yeah. And, like, loads of shits kind of get free calls, stuff like that.
Yeah, those don't exist. I hate to break it to people, but that's a fool's dream.
It's just a scam.
Yeah. And anybody that tells you otherwise is looking for something. Most likely your money.
Yeah, definitely. Cool, man. That's something to read up on, definitely.
Yeah, that just gave me a headache.
Yeah. I mean, the only problem is it's going to be pretty useless for us. I mean, in all honesty.
It's becoming very useless for me.
If you're going to make it, then you might as well have a purpose to use it. But if you're ever planning to take a trip to South America, then maybe it might be useful to have one of those.
Yeah, it would be good. Even in the United States right now, it's gotten to the point where TDMA phones are almost entirely phased out. The only phones that are still around are ones that have been either in service for years.
Yeah.
For certain low-end prepaid cellular companies will set you up with a TDMA phone. One of the interesting things about these phones is that they can still be manipulated by analog phones.
Yeah.
Like an old Motorola or Oki cell phone. Basically any old analog cell phone that you have access to a robust test function.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of interesting things you can do with them. For instance, if you were able to modify your phone to be able to burst transmission on the received control channel, you can knock the channel off the air.
Yeah.
Pretty easily. If you can set up a modification so that it'll sweep through the entire cellular band, basically with the control channel code to hang the phone up. You can make it so it's exceedingly difficult for anybody with a TDMA phone to place a call.
Right.
Or to receive one.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually know the frequency, like via frequency counter, that the phone is idling on, you can target individual phones and make it so one person cannot call or receive a call. You can use transmission function of your phone to transmit random hex. And if you do it in just the right way, with just the right timing, you can corrupt what's called the station class mark.
Right.
Just enough to drop that TDMA phone into analog transmission.
Yeah.
Making it very vulnerable to eavesdropping.
Mm. So is there a way to pretend that you're a base station?
Yeah.
Have phones like connect to you.
Yeah, you could put one of those together. You would need duplexed. You need duplexed, probably about two duplex transmitter and receivers.
Right.
Transceivers, yeah. You'd need some pretty wicked software, which I'd imagine you'd either have to steal or develop yourself.
Right.
You'd probably want a very fat bandwidth and voice over IP provider so that you'd actually be able to let these people place the calls.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to say something crazy's going on, like all circuits are busy for everyone that tries to connect to you.
Exactly.
And you are limited then by, you know, the range of the simulated cell.
Yeah.
But that's actually how they managed to nail Mitnick.
Sure.
They had a cell site simulator in the back of a van that they had him connect to, and then they traced him down to his actual location from there.
Cool.
This is after they narrowed down, like, what city he was in. At least that's the story.
Because he was transferring stuff over his mobile phone, wasn't he? Over his cell phone.
Yeah, he was using his mobile phone as a modem so that he could go about his whatever it was he was doing.
Yeah. Interesting stuff for an episode.
Yeah.
And I think
pretty old school.
We're closing off actually now. We've just done an hour of some very interesting things, man. I think I'm going to be listening back to this. Definitely will be listening back.
It's a good show, definitely. I'm glad that I could share.
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, I'm going to be looking forward to more of this. And you're like, oh no.
Well, I've got some more research to do.
Definitely. We're going to be closing off with a song called Under Control. Don't know who it's by, but it's pretty good. Just listen to the lyrics. You'll be able to hear what it's about.
Sounds good.
So it's a good night from me.
And good night.
Get your rock and roll. Get it out of control. Capitalism on my control. You know Big Brother ain't a TV show. It's how we roll with what they know. Reality bites me comfortably, inducing you into watching me. Watching you, watching me methodically. Panoptic sheets, stay sleeping, peeping. MK Ultra, vulture soldiers. Kool-Aid acid, electric pulses. A day full of pigs in the sky of focus. Marilyn Monroe swinging with the soldiers. Ain't it something, money's bumping. But it's all in low with no production. Murdoch, pop rocks, comes for consumption. My talk's co-opted for saying something. Illuminati partners, tower topless, Vatican taps in the Texas Mafia, Pentagon packs with Lockheed Martin, laughter jet contact with Martians, spark plug jets with Hitler's offspring, Dick Cheney on smack for a busted O-ring.